Welcome to Stories from St. Mark's, a podcast featuring stories from members of St. Mark's Cathedral community in Seattle, Washington. These are from lives of faith, adventure and doubt, love, celebration and service, ministry and connection. Here is our host, Michael Pereira.
If you've been coming to St. Mark's, you've absolutely heard and you've seen Rebecca Gilmore in some capacity in the work that she does with the choirs and the music. And those are two of the biggest things that draw people to St. Mark's. But for me personally, I've never really got the opportunity to sit down with Rebecca and to find out who she is, what she does, and what brings her here. And so that's what we are going to talk about today. And I say talk, but if she does want to burst out into song, I'm certainly not going to stop her. So on that note, Rebecca, thank you for joining us at St. Mark's Cathedral Conversations.
Thank you, Michael. This is real fun.
Thank you. So to start with, we'll just keep our questions a little bit light. And just to find out a little bit about who you are, where you come from, how you found St. Mark's, and the work that you do here, which I'll admit is a podcast in and of itself, and then also what you do outside the cathedral.
I usually say that I'm from Kansas. I was born in California and lived there for the first part of my childhood and then transplanted to Kansas, where I did junior high and high school. And my dad was a Lutheran pastor, and so I grew up a pastor's kid in lots of different parishes, living in parsonages right next door to the church. So I really had a sense of ownership, not just over the parsonage, but over the whole church property. and so I've always felt very at home within the walls of a nave and on the church property, both in play and in worship. So I went to school at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. It's a small liberal arts school that specializes in choral music, among other things. And that was an incredibly rich experience and right in line with my interests. I had known for a long time that I wanted to teach, and I felt a call to ministry, but music kept coming back as the vehicle for my ministry. And while I had considered, you know, going on to seminary after I finished college, I was counseled by many people and truly felt it was a sense of call to remain in music. And so I did work as a music education major and mm-hmm. with a choral church music emphasis so that I had an ed background to put towards my teaching, but always with the idea that I would be doing exactly what I'm doing here at St. Mark's.
So in many ways, this is a lifelong, almost a dream come true?
Oh yeah, this is for sure. This is a job, a position that was exactly what I wanted for years and years. And I have served in a couple of different capacities in churches since graduating from college. But this is just right in line with the trajectory that I saw for myself when I can dedicate so much of my time to working with children, a big emphasis on teaching not just notes and rhythms, but really teaching about God through what we're doing. And in a context like St. Mark's, oh my goodness, it is a dream come true.
How did you get connected to St. Mark's?
Well, this is kind of fun. I, my senior year of college, was part of the touring choir at Luther called the Nordic Choir. And we did a month-long tour of the West Coast. And our third stop on that tour was St. Mark's Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, as I've watched many other choirs do now over the years, these college kids walking through the doors, and they look up and they're amazed at the space because it's such a unique space. And coming from the Midwest, I mean, to look out and see the Olympic Mountains and Puget Sound and the loft of our own building perched here on the hillside, I was amazed just walking in the door. And then I turned around and I saw the organ. And I thought, I literally said out loud, I want to work here. And that was back in 2001. And so I kept St. Mark's in mind as I became a full-time church musician over the mountains in Wenatchee. And St. Mark's was the place I came as a church musician for respite. So when I had a Sunday off in Wenatchee, I would come over the mountains I would worship here. I was also singing and still am singing professionally in the Seattle area. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my professional concert giving was here at St. Mark's. So even though I didn't live in the Seattle area initially, I became very familiar with this building and particularly with Mel Butler, the former canon musician here. So I've had years and years of connection here. First, a very strong, just initial, I want to work here feeling. And then I've been on staff here since 2010 when Mel Butler hired me. So, and now I'm full time, which has just been wonderful.
This goes back a long way for you, then.
It does. I've had my eye on this place and my heart in the worship life for quite a while. And I hold dearly to the role that St. Mark's played as a place of respite for a church musician who on her weeks off was tired and wanted to go and experience liturgy done at a high level so that I wasn't distracted by the nuts and bolts of it. I could just worship. And I'm so grateful now that I can be part of offering that to other church, not just church musicians, but for my specific situation, I really relished the chance to worship here.
Do you still pinch yourself at the way things worked out?
Often, yeah. One of my jobs here, just a small component, is to welcome visiting choirs that are on tours that want to come and sing in our building. It's always fun to look at these kids who are on, you know, those kinds of tours are really life-changing. You see the world, you're experiencing it with people that you've built a relationship with in choir, and you're just thinking about your future. I remember that from my own experience on that tour. So it's very fun to get to welcome those same kids to our building and tell them the story of how St. Mark's, you know, my experience at St. Mark's really did change my life.
You would see that reflected in them, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yep.
This leads us to one of the fun questions I'm going to ask, which is, what do you do here?
Well, I am the associate musician and the director of the Cathedral Choir School. So I have the pleasure of working with Michael Kleinschmidt, our canon musician. So I assist him with the Cathedral Choir when he needs that, and co-direct the Evensong Choir, which is a mixed group of adults and children. And then my primary job is overseeing the choir school. And so the choir school serves ages 5-year-olds all the way up through high school. And that group, the choir school has three primary choirs. So there's the junior choristers, which is the training choir for the wee little ones, really those that aren't reading yet, reading words as well as reading music. And then once they get to a certain level of maturity, both in terms of their reading ability, but also their ability to sit quietly in a chair, then, and also their musicianship know-how, then they are moved up to the senior choristers. And the senior choristers sing more frequently. They travel on little ambassador weekends around the diocese and have just a more active schedule overall. And then as those kids go into high school, or as the boys' voices change, they move up to the high school schola. And that group, that is a powerhouse group. This past year in particular, there's a lot that's moving both musically and spiritually in that group. It's been a very exciting year for them. So then the final group that is associated with the choir school is the Evensong Choir. And the Evensong Choir does high-level repertoire They do it on minimal rehearsal, and it's a mixed group of the top senior choristers and the top high school kids, as well as auditioned adults. So we're able to do a lot with that group. It's a real fun but challenging rehearsal process for them. And that's the group that is going to do a two-week residency in England this summer.
Has the St. Mark's Choir ever done that before?
I don't believe so. The Compline Choir has traveled abroad before, but as far as I know, this is the first trip of its kind, especially for the choristers to get to travel over to Europe.
So you talked a lot about what you do at St. Mark's. You mentioned that you're also a singer outside the cathedral. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I'd love to. So I am a professional soprano that specializes in early music, so medieval and Renaissance music and Baroque music. And I've been, I studied a lot of that in college, never thinking that I was going to get to sing it professionally. But when I moved to the Washington State, I started auditioning a bit and got connected with a group that was in residence here called the Tudor Choir. Mm-hmm. And so back in 2003, started singing with them, traveling, touring with them, doing lots of concerts, and that just opened up a whole world of performing that I really didn't think I would have the chance to do. So every time I get to do those concerts, it's a gift. And I'm grateful not just because of the experience that I have singing with those fabulous ensembles, but because having me challenged as a performer helps me in my teaching of children. I remember what it's like to feel nervous, to feel what it's like if you don't know your notes well enough, and what that does to your voice and to your body. And it also helps me remember the sort of interpersonal stuff that happens within a choir that does matter. And it matters a lot when you're a little person. But it matters a lot, too, when it's your job. You know, up
a completely different end of the spectrum.
Totally, totally different end, but still very helpful. So I'm grateful not just as a singer, but also as an educator, to remain active as a performer and keep my skills up.
What keeps you at St. Mark's?
Well, I think it really speaks to what is ongoing at St. Mark's, this merging of faith life and liturgy and music. And we straddle a really important thing of keeping rooted in our history, in our tradition, both musically, but also in terms of doctrine, while always looking ahead to where is God speaking in the world and where are we being drawn to as a community and as individuals. And St. Mark's holds that tension really well for me. And that's an important tension for me. Growing up in the church as a pastor's kid, I experienced the wisdom of my elders through the relationships that my family had with other parishioners, and I experienced the wisdom of liturgical language in how it shapes our experience of daily life, how it shapes our experience of daily life, I think, is a fair way to say it. And so often I see churches being drawn towards relevance in a way that cheapens our attention to that wisdom of the ages. These, you know, our tradition is built on people who have lived full lives. They have had children, they've buried their parents, they have watched their children grow up and seen what happens when they have to send those, you know, these little people out into the world to become adults for themselves. I say all of that in that our language as a church was shaped by people who had the fullness of that experience. And me at 39 sitting here might think that I know what is best for what I need in any given moment, but I always want to keep an ear to what our tradition is telling us of, you may not know at this moment what you need, but we have millions of people that have gone before you and have walked somewhat where you have walked. And this is what they say your heart needs. And our language is built around that. Our music is built around that, about what is really moving within you. And I give such thanks that in a church as progressive as we are and as dedicated to social justice and being attentive to the needs of people now, that we also stay rooted in what is the tradition telling us our hearts need to remain close to God as we parse all this out.
And that continues to inspire you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it inspires how I teach children, too.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, this has been a really remarkable year in my life. I got married in October. And as many people know, my father passed away in March. It all happened very quickly. And my experience has been that these words that we say in our liturgy together had new life for me because of the experiences I have just had. Things were resonating with me differently. And I feel a responsibility to share some of that with children. So my father passed away right before Holy Week and this year. And then I turned around and I started prepping children on the hymn that we were going to sing for Palm Sunday, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And I sat down with each of the choirs, these different age brackets, and in as appropriate a way as I could muster, I talked with them about what a new experience it was for me to sing those words this year, because I suddenly had the experience of being right next to someone when they died. That experience of being in the room when someone passed from death into new life, and or life into death into new life. And having now the experience of standing on that dividing line brought the text of, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" to a new place. And these children who I work with, who I share a mutual love with, and I worship with, they had seen a very vulnerable side of me this year, both in my marriage and in my grief, and had reached out to me. Not just their families, but the children themselves, you know, would come up to me and put their hand on my arm and say, "I'm so sorry your dad died, Miss Gilmore." And to be able to share with them, really in a vulnerable way, where I was at. And I don't think that that kind of information is too much for children. I think it is actually a responsibility that we have as adults to share the reality of those times of passage in our lives, so that they see these people that they know and respect go through it, and they know some of what to expect. And our lives, our liturgical lives, going through the season of Lent and then into Holy Week and then the joy of the resurrection, that speaks to day-to-day existence as a human. And it's not lost on them. I think it's, but it is enriched for them when they can see someone that they know draw from the language of Lent as they grieve the loss of a parent, and draw from the joy of Easter as they move through their grief, back to being reminded of all that they loved in the person that they're missing, and the promise of new life and resurrection.
And that speaks to the synthesis of what you talked about, this intersection between faith and life and liturgy and music. How, in a season of your life and in a week of fundamental importance to the church, everything comes together. And in a bizarre way, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The pieces fit.
Yeah. Yep. For me, it does. And I think for the part of my job as an educator is to put that together for them. I take that responsibility very seriously.
Of course. And it shows. It's definitely demonstrated. You've skided through most of the questions I was going to ask,
because
that covers everything. So I just have one or two things and then we'll wrap up here.
Please.
And you've touched on this before, so I'm going to probe a little deeper.
Okay.
If there is a moment or an experience at St. Mark's that you remember crystal clear, maybe it's just an impression or a feeling that has remained with you and that your mind goes back to, I'm sure something like that has happened. Can you put words to it?
One of the joys of being here is that those moments are so numerous. Truly.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I have the best job, because when you work with children, you watch them have those experiences and it brings it alive for you in a whole new way. I think one of the things I would mention is that in the pageant of the Nativity that we do now every year, where all the choir school choirs and the Evensong choir join together and sing a real beautiful telling of the Nativity story through music and through action, through costumes and displaying the beauty of our cathedral, both in architecture and in our special holy vessels that we have here. One particular moment every year comes out, and it is the moment when I call it the candle lighting, and it usually happens towards the end of the pageant, where we're talking in the readings about the light of Christ and coming into the world. And the choristers walk down the aisles carrying candles, mm-hmm. single, each one holding a candle, and we sing, it's always something that I dearly love, because I save it for that spot, because I love that mm-hmm. moment. And to be able to stand on the altar platform and have the adults of the Evensong Choir behind me singing so beautifully by candlelight. And then I get to look out at these aisles full of children, each face lit by a candle. And I can just, while conducting, take a second and take in each one of those faces. It is so precious for me, because in those moments, something comes together of who that individual child is that I have gotten to know, and our joint effort, all of us together, and truly, I mean, their individual light, the showing of Jesus through their faces, the light of Christ through their faces in those moments, it re-engages me for the work I have to do. And feeds me. And I think that the congregation that's gathered gets a sense of that as well. I wish I could sit there and hear what it sounds like to have these little voices in your ear most of the time in tune, I hope.
Of course.
And be able to have a close-up view of those faces so intently watching me and just delivering their all for the sake of telling this story from our history.
That must be the only time you wish you were not up there.
Well, I don't want to give up being up
of
there
course.
Either.
No.
But, you know, having that experience of sitting there would be really marvelous too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And as a bonus, there is one body here that we haven't really talked about yet. That's Hildegard.
Tell us
a little bit about Hildegard.
My pup. Hildegard is a golden retriever. She is known as the choir school mascot. She comes to work here at St. Mark's with me nearly every day. And she's a four-year-old blonde golden retriever who is as perfect a choir school dog as she could be. She knows how to be quiet, but she also knows how to be very loving with all the different ages of children. And She comes over to rehearsals each week and will lay there on the floor while the kids are doing their musicianship work, and often is a very helpful carrot for those kids. So I'll say, all right, if you finish this page in your workbook, then you can go pet Hildegard. So it, I think she's maybe my secret weapon in recruitment as well.
Well, not so secret. I mean, she's always there.
She's always around.
For which we're very, very lucky.
She's a good girl. Yep.
She absolutely is. Rebecca Gilmore, thank you so much for joining us. This was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Our music was performed by Michael Kleinschmidt on the Flintrop organ at St. Mark's. Michael Pereira and Andrew Himes produced the podcast, and we hope you'll visit stmarks.org. So long.